Miss.
I called her and she does not want to serve the meeting.
Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting, February 25th, 2008. We're pleased to see everyone here. Sorry we're a little late starting. It's my fault. But we're glad to have you here and appreciate any comments that you have during the course of the meeting. And if you would, as we start our meeting, and if you desire, stand with us for a prayer and pledge of allegiance, please.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we just want to thank you for the great city you've given us, for those that work so hard to make this a place where families could be raised in safety, where individuals have the comfort and the freedom to address their needs and concerns. We ask that this evening that you would be with each and every one that is present here. We ask for wisdom, Lord, and discernment over the many issues that are before us. We ask, Lord, that we would be quick to listen and quick to hear and slow to speak. That, Lord, you would show us, each and every one of us, your direction for the city as we go about serving you. We ask your blessing upon all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and second, please, to approve the agenda as it is?
Move for approval of the minutes as written.
The agenda.
Okay. Any comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. First item is the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the work session in the regular meeting of February 11th, 2008.
Oh, I made the wrong motion, didn't I?
Any comments about the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
The minutes.
Okay, we have a second as well? Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands. We have a presentation this evening, and we're proud of that, and we're proud of all of those who have worked diligently over the years, and those who have worked diligently to gather all the information over the months, and who knows, maybe a year. And yeah, there, we're fortunate to have Peggy Ford with us this evening. And Peggy, would you like to introduce yourself? And
I am Peggy Ford, and I'm the director of Children's Place and the president this year of the Aiken County Community Partnership. Mayor and city council and city manager. And what we're here tonight with Diane Mangianti, who is the chairman of, or the executive director of Public Education Partners. And we're here to tell you about an award that the County of Aiken won, which is one of the 100 cities that was honored as one of the 100 best places to raise children in the United States. So it's America's Promise Alliance. It is the organization started by Colin Powell. And what he looks for, or that organization looks for, is they look for how well you maintain your promises to youth. And they believe those promises are caring adults, safe places, healthy starts, effective education, and a chance to serve. So it's not about whether or not our statistics are difficult or problematic, or for us, we're number 46 in the state. For 46 states in the United States for the number of problems that our children have. But what it looks for is do work at pulling your weight. And this is what we were given, is that Aiken County pulls its weight. Because we really do have programs that work to serve children and to meet all of those standards and make those five promises a reality to children in our community. But Diane actually has what they gave us, and she'll bring it to you and show you.
Okay.
But we're pretty pleased as a community to have worked together enough. And we invite all of you to come to the Quality of Life meetings and to the Aiken County Community Partnership
Great.
Meetings and become a part of our ongoing collaboration.
Thank you, Peggy. Would you turn that around and let the audience make sure everybody sees it? Well, this is quite an honor. There's no doubt about it. And it's an honor to our citizens who've worked hard and our leaders, like you two.
Diane,
you wrote the application. Yeah, tell us.
It was a large collaborative process, as everything in Aiken is, it seems. Probably about 24 organizations got together for, 3 to 4 hours one day and just poured everything we knew about what was going on in this community to benefit young people. So it was a joint effort.
Mm-hmm.
I got to type it all in.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Well, you know, regardless of where we are in the standings, as you've said already, Peggy, it's where we're headed. And we've got a good incentive now, and we've got a good group of people. We know that in Aiken. They always tend to work together for the good things. And so thank you all very much, and we appreciate what you all have done. Under old business, the first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have one appointment before you tonight. Councilman Duar would like to reappoint Marcia Rogers to the Environmental Committee, and her term would expire December 31st, 2009.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I will proudly move to reappoint Marcia Rogers to the Environmental Commission.
Second.
Okay, sir. Good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Okay. Unanimously approved. Now, does anyone else have some appointments for, or nominations, I should say, for the next meeting?
Mr. Mayor, I've included a form to reappoint Mr. Beasley to the Parks Commission.
Okay. Good. I'd like to reappoint Peggy Penland to her. I'm sorry, it's Accommodation Tax Committee. It's not due to March 25th, but we'll get that a little bit ahead of schedule. Anyone else? Okay. If not, we'll just we'll move on then. Item 2, naming of a park at Buford and Sunday. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. There's a park located right off of 118 at Sunday Drive that for years it was always a very odd name called the South Carolina 118 Park. And since this time, Buford Street is no longer 118 because they moved the bypass out to the Rudy Mason area. And so it's really not in Highway 118 anymore. So it's really misnamed. Council Member Clyburn came to us at the last meeting and asked that we would consider naming this park after our long-term park commission member, T.A. Hammond. You know, T.A. came to our meeting last year around his 95th birthday, and we were able to honor him. And also Mr. Williams, who was a longtime resident of the area, worked with youth. You have given to you tonight some of the things that were said about these gentlemen, and I know there are a number of guests here tonight are also present because of them. If council approves this tonight, we will go ahead and get together the proper signage for this park and have a formal dedication, which we'll hold later in the spring. recognizing these two gentlemen. So for your consideration tonight, this would be the approval of the renaming of the Highway 118 Park located at Buford and Sunday to the Hammond Williams Park.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that this park be renamed Hammond Williams Park in honor of Mr. T.A. Hammond and Mr. James Williams.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, we do have family members
Good.
Here. We have his widower here and her daughters and son-in-law and
okay.
grandchildren.
Would anyone
church
like,
members.
Would anyone like to speak? Family members? Or, would, yeah.
Good evening. My name is Gail Williams Jackson, and I'm the daughter, number six daughter, of Mr. James A. Williams, Jr. And we, the Williams family, would like to thank each and every one of you for considering and renaming the park after my father and my mother's husband. We are very pleased, and we're very filled with joy that the community, that he was a leader in our community. And we thank you and we bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Thank you.
Gail, thank you very much. We appreciate you and your family. And
Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. My name is Clarence Jackson. I serve as president of the Visionary Associates of Aiken. Our goal is to uplift this community and do those things that we feel the city will be proud of. Renaming of this park was one of them. And we want to ditto what Mrs. Williams said in terms of our appreciation. All of you should know Mr. T.A. Hammond. He served as a park commissioner for years. And sometimes we have heroes that go unsung, that is so flamboyant that everyone knows. But T.A. is a person who made vast contribution to this community and may have gone unnoticed. And certainly the naming of this park on his behalf give us and those to follow an opportunity to relive, reclaim, and sustain his life. And I want to say to you, keep up the good work and support us in our endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
I want to thank whoever took the time to do this wonderful biography of you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you write it? Somebody. I don't know who wrote it, but it's just I feel that I know him from this. So thank you very much.
His wife wrote that, and it's lovely.
I think Brenda, you were the one that wrote it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank all of you for being here, and you're welcome to stay as long as you'd like. Or leave as soon as you want. Okay, item three, lease for the use of the old Red Cross building on Lawrence Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. At our last meeting, we also discussed the potential lease of the Red Cross building that would start on March 1st of this year and end on February 28th of 2009. It would continue on a yearly basis unless either party decides to terminate it. At that point, Christ Central would have 6 months to vacate that premise. One of the questions that was asked was the number of cars there, and as they say at the last meeting, only a few cars would ever need to use the parking lot, and that would be The only other occasion would be if they had some training going on, and that would more than likely be on a weekend period. So before you tonight is a lease agreement between the City of Aiken and Christ Central Mission for the use of the former Red Cross building on Lawrence Street for a one-year period of time.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'd just like to take a moment to say Ms. Barbara Franklin is here tonight, and Christ Central has become just a wonderful addition to this community in which we live. One program that they have in place that I know of is Jobs for Life, which takes citizens of our community who are at the very bottom, just with difficulties or possibly with self-esteem. And this program works with them and retrains them to go out and actively seek a job. So, you know, we're not just talking about something here that provides food, but it also trains and teaches people how to fish so that they can then become self-sufficient again. Thank you.
Barbara, would you stand up and be recognized? Would you like to say a few words?
I'm very humbled, and I would just like to say thank you for your unanimous support.
Well, you're welcome. And just one more minute. Let me ask you a question, and you can answer it. Your position now, and you've worked with Christ Central for a long time. Your position now is at the national level.
Well, I am divisional president of the mission ministry, which means I am now over all of the mission stations. There are 9 currently right now in South Carolina, 1 in India. We are opening up another one that's coming under our umbrella in Washington, D.C., and we have other ventures ahead of us. So we're looking forward to being part of enriching communities, working and partnering with the people in the community, such as Katie Ford, that's already doing dynamic work. It's not about reinventing the wheel. It's just about working together and being that blessing within the community.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for all you do, for all the folks. Under new business, first item is a joint approval of Station 5/EMS substation with Aiken County. Roger, please.
Yes, sir. This is rather exciting in the fact that council has asked staff to try to find ways that we could partner with the county, and this was one of those areas that we felt was a natural one. It got bogged down for, and I don't want to go into all the reasons why, but the county approved this last week, and we're ready to move forward. Basically, the land that we purchased off Siddle Drive would be jointly used by both parties. It would be one building, one common bay area, with on one side would be public safety for our housing and personnel. On the other side would be the EMS and their personnel. We would jointly share the driveways, the land, and a lot of the other amenities that are there for a common purpose. So we're very excited about this. It's the first time that we have ever jointly gone into a building and structure like this with the county, and that we're hoping that we have, this will just be a start and will really be a pattern and foundation that we could lay for other successful things that we could do together. So for City Council's consideration tonight, we recommend the attached memorandum of understanding between the City of Aiken and Aiken County for the construction and maintenance of a public safety station, number 5, and an EMS medical service substation.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Mr. Mayor, I think this is a wonderful joint venture, and I'd like to say thank you to the county for working with us, and I guess you have already seconded it. So.
No, I have a couple of questions.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Well, I'd like to second it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Beverly, for your thought.
My questions, and you all probably know, when would this facility be finished?
We would hope that with the approval, the architectural work has already been completed. We've actually gone out for bids already on it. So we would hope in the next 30 to 60 days to start construction, and it'll take about 6 months. So feasibly, we could be in there before the end of the year.
And when we say the county portion of EMS, will that include an ambulance?
They had in their 1 cent sales tax funding for additional ambulances, and the idea was to put a station somewhere on the south side. I can't tell you that for sure. I could tell you it does include, we will go ahead and have a fire truck that's already on order, and we'll be ordering a ladder truck in the very near future.
I think the answer is walking up.
Chief is coming on.
I can tell you they will have an ambulance. In fact, they have already purchased the ambulance, and they're in the process now of hiring some people, putting the equipment. And, and I've actually made the offer to them that in the interim, while we're building, that we could even let them place the ambulance at Station 4 out by the Woodside Station, so that we can get that much-needed ambulance on the south side.
That's wonderful to hear.
They said they would love to. So.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I applaud the support that everyone has given to this. A few weeks ago, was at a facility in the county and had to make a 911 call, and 30 minutes later, when the ambulance showed up, I was somewhat, it worked out fine, but this is an absolutely positive asset to the community, and I thank everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Dick. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, while we're talking about working together, I just want to note that we have County Councilman Willa Hightower here, and so he's hearing all these good things that we're saying about County Council for Change. I'm only kidding, Willa. We always say good things.
And Willa, we say them even if you're not here.
In that respect, I think we should also thank Scott Singer of the County Council, who in fact moved this forward very handily.
Yeah, right. Okay, any other comments? If not, we've got a motion and second. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Very good. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 29 Varden Drive from general business to limited professional. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's the ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Newman Properties, LLC, from general business, GB, to limited professional. They basically want to change this so that there cannot be any incompatible development being built in this area. And so it's a protection for them. It's exactly what we'd like to see in this area. When it was zoned as general business 20-some years ago, it probably is not the proper zoning that we want there today. So limited professional is a much better fit for that area. So for your consideration tonight, this is the first reading ordinance to rezone a 0.37-acre tract at 29 Barton Drive from general business to limited professional.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Good move.
Okay, if not, show of hands, please. All approved. That passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding non-conforming setbacks. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending Section 8.1.4b of the zoning ordinance regarding the expansion of structures with non-conforming setbacks. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of other information that goes along with this. This was an item that, similar to the issue we had with Jane Page, where she wanted some changes to be made. It went to the Planning Commission. They looked at what changes they wanted to see as far as setbacks are concerned, what changes. Currently, on a side yard, it's got to be 10 feet for lots over 60 feet wide. And if it's a lot under 60 feet, it could go down to 7.5 feet. This has been the norm for quite some time, although there's been several zoning changes that have occurred over the years within these areas, especially what I look at as Old Aiken area. Mr. Hightower is here tonight. He is the petitioner that asked that those changes be made, and the Planning Commission, after looking at it, decided not to go forward with it. So if council wants to make a change, we can either set up another meeting and talk further about it, But we would need some direction on the staff's part as to what those changes would entail, because there's really nothing here before tonight other than saying, if you want to approve it, you say you approved on first reading, and then we have to put in information as to what exactly we're going to change it and how it should be changed. Mr. Frommer is here tonight, and he could speak on the public safety aspect of it as to why the 7.5 feet and the 10 feet is the appropriate amount. Very interestingly, tomorrow night at the BZA hearing, there are going to be two issues. There's three issues. Two of the issues are on getting variances so the setbacks could be changed to allow something less than what is there currently. One was for a playhouse, and one was for, I believe, an addition. So I know Mr. Hightower is here tonight to have this. This is so for council consideration, this is approval of a proposal by Willard Hightower to amend the zoning ordinance regarding expansion to structures with non-conforming setbacks.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Hightower, would you like to speak to us, sir?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and Council, I'm here tonight to speak on the request that I've made. I'm sure you have that in your packet. I would like to do a couple of things before I do that, and that is looking at the memorandum that has been provided to you. In the second paragraph, it talks about my request. It says the Planning Commission to consider changes considering setbacks throughout the city. That's true, but the main thing I'm requesting is in those areas where a community has been bit and is intact, and the city comes and zones that area such that most of the houses, 75% of the houses, are non-conforming, they should not have to go through the pain of having to pay $100, wait 2 months, and go through the process to make an addition. Those homes are older homes. They're homes that, when they were built, had bedrooms, had no closets, or if they had closets, 24 inches wide, one bath at most. And so in order to make any of those homes conform to the kind of standards that we have grown to like in these days and times, one would have to almost always make some kind of modification to that structure. In doing so, because the house is closer than the 7.5 feet, it requires whatever you do to come before the county council, city council. And so that is one thing I wanted to just sort of lift up. It has non-conforming, so on the last sentence in the paragraph, but the non-conforming issue is the thrust of what I'm talking about. It's not really talking about just changing all the setbacks in the whole city. That is not my intent whatsoever. There's another item that on this back page, the second page. The Planning Commission at the February meeting voted 5-1 to deny the request, wanting to build an addition closer to the property line than allowed by the current zoning ordinance. That is not what I'm requesting. I'm not requesting that I build anything. I had an issue that brought this issue to my attention, and that has been resolved. That's out of the way. I mean, I was granted, went through the Zoning Board of Adjustments process, and I was granted permission to do my extension. I did my extension, and I'm happy. But for the rest of the people who are in that area, and if you notice the area, houses have been torn down, but there has been absolutely no building of houses in this area, no new building. And I can't help but believe, because of the pain one would have to go through, because the lots are very narrow, and the pain one would have to go through in order to build something there, perhaps would be a prohibiting factor as to why no new houses have been built in this area. I've come to try to get a good hearing on this issue that I raised. And the problem I'm requesting you to address is to give some relief to property owners wherein the city has placed a zone classification that makes more than 3/4 of the houses that were in existence when the zone was put in place non-conforming. My question is, why would the city want to make more than three-quarters of the structures non-conforming? And I believe that the city did not intend to make life painful for the residents to add a closet or two, or add a bathroom, or just expand a room so that it makes the house more livable. But it's just that is just what has been done for the Hampton Avenue, Fairfield, Union Street, Abbeville Avenue block. That's the block I'm concerned with. In reading many of the zoning regulations that deal with placing zones on property, I find that most of the regulations are stated in a manner to control the building of new structures and provided standards. I agree with that. But why would the city decide or just let happen that it is very painful for a property owner to do anything with his or her property, including selling it because of an arbitrary assignment of a zone that causes the block to have more than three-quarters of the structures non-conforming? In dealing with existing buildings, the auditors makes it painful to do anything with one's property when it comes to minor additions. In fact, if a property owner's house were destroyed, that person would not be permitted to replace the structure in the same spot that it was originally without great pain. That seems to me to be unfair. Yes, you can request and pay $100 and wait 2 months and go before the Zoning Board of Adjustments and pray for relief. I can tell you that is very painful. I feel like you have before you the minutes of the and recommendation of the Zoning Board, and I stand here to tell you that there was very little discussion of my request in public. The turtle drew up. It is as if I made a request that hit the turtle's back and the turtle went into the shell. That was a convoluted, I guess, process. That I'm naming it that. I don't know whether it was or not. The way my request was handled. Let me just give you an example. I was invited to attend a work session on the board of the board, zoning board, to explain my request on January 15th. When I arrived, the board had run out of time, and if there was any discussion, it had taken place without my input, and I was unable to explain my request. Then I was invited again to explain this request in another work session February 12th. The board had no questions, and I was not allowed to explain my request in the work session. When the item came to the agenda, there were very few questions as I stood to explain the request. A motion was made to deny my request because of the public safety director that the side setback should not be less than 7.5 feet. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Had said, and the building inspector had said he's opposed to any change in the setback requirements. That's interesting. Their statements clearly indicate that they were voting on changing the setback requirements for the zone, not dealing with the issue of existing structures having been zoned by the city. It is this issue, existing structures, which I wish that you would address. Here are some possible things I see that would cure this particular problem. And orders that would say something like, and I'm not in the business of wording ordinances, so I'm just telling you what an ordinary layman would think of. Existing property owners may continue the non-conforming of existing buildings wherein the non-conformance was created by the city of Aiken for a whole block. Any structure that is destroyed is permitted to be rebuilt without request. Minor additions such as closing in a porch, expanding a room, or continuing the line of the existing structure may be permitted with staff approval. No fee will be charged for existing structures request wherein the city's placement of the zone to cause the building to become non-conforming. Those are my proposals, and those are, I would like to put that on the table.
Okay, let's see what questions we might have. Well, who wants to lead off? Anybody have a question, comment?
What was the statement before the no fee charge?
Oh, okay. Minor additions such as closing in a porch, expanding a room, or continuing the line of the existing structure may be permitted with staff approval.
Mr. Mayor, I I was present at the first, the January meeting of the Planning Commission, and the work session started, 5 o'clock, Mr. Reynolds? Mm-hmm. And I think they had gone through the agenda that they had, and it was now time to start the public meeting. And Mr. Hightower came in time for the public meeting, and of course they had already discussed this item without him being present, as he stated. I did take the time to go through the area. I went Union Street, and I went Fairfield, and I looked at some of the lots. Some of the lot sizes and the homes on the lots, and they are relatively close to one another. And I don't know what year we changed the setback, or if we did. Roger.
Okay. Well, I have that information in front of me.
Okay.
In 1947.
Okay.
Is when we were able to get the first zoning, and at that time and typically the problem could occur in the front yard or could occur in the rear yard, but most of the problems we're talking about, because they are narrow, long lots, mm-hmm. is more in the side yard, and that's where our major concern is. In 1947, each side yard had to be at least 7 feet. So in other words, from the property line to the house, there had to be at least a 7-foot distance in 1947. The next zoning change occurred 20 years later. And the side yard, one side yard had to be 7 feet, and the other then expanded to 10 feet, except that buildings over two stories had to have each side yard to be 10 feet. In 1971, at least 7 feet on one side yard and then 10 feet on the other, and then the latest change was in 1999, which required both sides to be a minimum of 7.5 feet for lots under 60 feet in width. I guess the common denominator that you could look at is that since 1947, when zoning first went into effect, it was at least 7 feet from the side yard to the house. Mm-hmm. In talking to Mike Jordan and Pete Frohmer, and Pete could get up and talk if he would like, but the major reason that we looked at trying to keep some separation is because as you get houses too close together, if there's a fire, one house could start a fire in the next house much easier. Also, it's very difficult to get any kind of fire apparatus or persons between houses that are too close together. There have been a number of fires in those areas. It has caused a problem. So what the Planning Commission and what Pete Frohmer and Mike Jordan said is, you know, we really don't want to go back to anything less than that. In fact, we'd prefer to see it further away. But this is why it's 7.5 feet versus the 7. But again, going all the way back to 1947, we did have some zoning. At that time, the rear yard, there was no requirements. The front yard had to be 25 feet. And then it evolved through the years as far as the front yard and the backyard. But consistency on the side yard was always 7 feet. But now we are at the 7.5 feet. But as Mr. Hightower said, as Councilwoman Clyburn said, you go up and down several of those streets, and there is a hodgepodge of side yards. A number of the bathrooms, we looked at one house recently, just North Hampton Avenue, and you could tell there was an add-on bathroom. And because it was an add-on, the ceiling in there was less than 8 feet. It was about a 6.5 foot, because I had to duck a little bit as I walked into the room. So. Again, it does add some problems because a number of those homes did not have bathrooms when they were originally built. So there is concern. It's how do you deal with those concerns?
What kind of limitations are there on the front? You mentioned this, Roger. Is it 25 feet on the front? Well, and in the rear?
Again, in the rear in 1947, there was no limitations. Then in 67, it went 20% of the lot depth not to exceed 50 feet. So you have to look at the depth of the lot, 20% of it. It was a 100-foot lot, mm-hmm. 20% mm-hmm. would be 20 feet, but no okay. more than 50 feet. In 1971, they went a little bit further and said, it's going to be 20 feet. And now our zoning says it's 20% of the lot depth not to exceed 50. So we went back to the
20%.
1967 limits.
Yeah.
But again, that could be a problem, and Mr. Hightower has stated over and over again, it's not just the side yard. There's, you know, there's other factors, but it's because of the way the homes were built originally. Most of the time, I'd say 95-98% of the time, it's the side yards that we're dealing with.
And let me ask another question. If we, you've got a home with 7.5 on each side, so you've got 15 feet.
That's correct.
Now, each one could have a fence in there somewhere, could they?
They certainly could.
And it could be right in the middle of that 7.5?
It generally is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think one of the most, the biggest concern I personally have, and I suspect others do too, is the safety. We've already talked about that a couple of times. And I'd like for Pete, if he would, to come and talk about that. And what kind of experience we've had maybe with homes that have been extremely close together. Don't go away. Well, just
obviously.
Okay.
I can pretty well tell you from fighting fire for 30-plus years in that area of town, if we ever rolled up to a fire that was sure enough burning when we got there, flames coming out of the window, in most cases the house, even with the existing 15-foot. In most cases, the house next to it is usually on fire, too. Because, of course, in that area, it's mostly the wood, combustible-type wood, a lot of tar siding. Of course, this day and time, there's even a lot of the houses with the vinyl siding, and that's very flammable. So, there again, that was the whole reason for it, is just to prevent the spread of fire from house to house to house. And we have found that time in and time out. You know, certain areas on the north side, if you get a fire, usually the house next door will be on fire. North side. Usually on the outside, the windows, the dormers, the overhang, the roof. So it presents a problem.
I assume one of your concerns is trying to get a vehicle.
Back that's vehicle,
okay.
Just the safety of the neighbor.
Yeah, just the safety of the neighbor.
Okay.
Space.
Okay.
Yeah, because you get a fire at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and before somebody can wake up and alert people, you can have a pretty bad fire.
Sure.
And it's spreading to the neighbor's house too.
Yeah.
So it's mostly that space thing and the spread of fire.
Right.
But it's also bring the hoses down the side yard.
And if you've got fences, that's something else to deal with. Right. Okay. Okay, thank you, Pete.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
Just in listening to Councilman Hightower, I share what he's saying in terms of trying to grandfather what's there. From a safety aspect, that is a concern of mine. But the $100 request for variance is also a concern. But my support goes with safety of that neighbor with utmost concern and protecting that neighbor. I'd love to see these folks grandfathered. What I get already, though, interestingly enough, is in Tools Hill, and you know how that's been developed. I get criticized because folks are saying those homes are too close, and I thought they were spread out pretty well. They look pretty good, in my opinion. But people are saying that we built in a neighborhood where the homes are too close out there. So it's interesting that we're talking about these folks that have lived, and I grew up in one of those homes that there was not much room between each home. And Roger, I had one of those homes when we moved to Aiken where there was the bathroom outside. It was the outhouse in the back. So I've had all those experiences here. I share what you're saying, but we're in a different climate, a different age, and where my parents were very concerned about the neighbors and us not doing things we should not be doing as children. Many of these parents are working, as you well know, and I'm not sure if the consciousness is there like it once was in terms of the do's and don'ts that children and grandchildren should be concerned about. So that's a concern.
It seems to me that non-conforming is something that was intended to take care, indeed, grandfather those people who are there now. But any new structure, any change in the structure has to conform, because at least we're reducing the exposure on the existing homes. The nonconforming is supposed to be solving the problem by evolution. What you're suggesting doesn't solve it, it just continues it. That's really the way I see it.
Can I respond to any
mm-hmm. Certainly.
Yeah. I want you to understand now, we're talking about existing structures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'll just go back to the addition that I had. The addition that I did, there was no house next to the addition that I did. The houses were, you know, it was closer than 7.5 feet where the main house was, but the part I was working on, just because it was within 7.5, it didn't take into consideration there was no house next door, no house next door to that addition. And that's the kind of stuff that you get into, and should not have to go through the painful process. Anyways, that's not taken into consideration, that the addition that I'm making is not adjacent to a house, the addition that I'm making. So it causes you to go through the same process. And these houses already exist. I'm not talking about new houses that may come on. I'm talking about the houses that are already too close. And unless we're going to move them apart, the safety issue is still there with us.
I would contend, sir, that let us say that the house is 30 feet deep and it's 5 feet from the line.
Okay.
And the person wants to add another 20 foot to the back of it. Are we going to continue that 30 foot exposure at the undesirable case, or are we going to move it a little further in for that next 20 feet so that it conforms rather than continue the same nonconformance? That's, to me, the logic of it. And I think it really takes care of those folks who do want to or need to enlarge their homes. They just simply have to crunch it up a little bit when it's going along the perimeter of the side yard.
Could you imagine how that looks?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can. I've seen many houses that we have all seen where you move things in. You have a second roof, you have a shed roof, you have all sorts of variations, and they are all possible, but at least that element is safer than the original element.
But your explanation did not take into consideration if that part that you add on has no house adjacent to it.
But then you're talking about a special case, which is then you go to the variance, which I gather worked out fine in your case.
It cost me $100.
Well,
and pain. But that's what I'm talking about.
Well,
$100 in pain.
Well, I'm a little confused here. You're talking about adding on.
Yes.
And there's a lot next door to you that doesn't have any home or anything on it.
Could still
It has a house there, but the portion of the house that's there is adjacent to the main body of the original house that was built. And this house has been added on to three times the one I had. And when you get back to the back, there is no house. The other house wasn't added on two, three times, so there is no house there. But I still had to go through all the pain.
But in effect, you're asking us to write a law to change a whole category in order to accommodate what seems to be a fairly unusual case.
It's not unusual for that lot, for that block. That block, the next block,
but
the next
again,
block, and the next block.
You're asking us to change a law in isolation to perpetuate a bad situation.
I'm not asking you to do that.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like.
Well, it's non-conforming. That's what we would be doing. We'd be adding something non-conforming on already something that's non-conforming.
Yeah. But the non-conformist was created by the city.
Yeah. It's still unsafe. And we've gotten smart enough to know that we can't continue to do that.
Do we have zero lot lines?
We do in some areas. Yeah. It's a good question.
Hopefully not where, well, we do have it where we have apartments downtown now.
I think they are usually brick walls, firewalls, etc.
Yeah.
The areas where we have the zero lot lines, there's a lot of building materials, sprinkler systems, and other things that they have to go through to be able to build that zero lot line.
What is your feeling? You said there were a lot of vacant lots in some of these blocks, and there are. Do you feel they should conform to the 7.5 foot setback? In other words, if a lot has no house on it at all and something's going to be...
No, I'm not talking about a lot has no house on it. It should conform to whatever you are.
The new standards.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's no problem.
They could conform to the new standard. However, they also have to contend with the fact that you've imposed on the standard on the adjoining lot. In other words, if they own the lot now, not built on it, you can stay there. You have your non-conforming portion, but you want to add on to that and make it even further non-conforming. That doesn't seem very fair either to the property owner who has a vacant lot.
You know, under the best case circumstances, and I think often we get that, I watch the zoning board give very careful thought to requests for variances. And occasionally, I think you know this, they have suggestions that really improve the ideas. I mean, they're not trying to tell people what they have to do, but they do have informed suggestions from having served on this board to suggest ideas, you know, that a design that might meet these setback requirements and be more attractive than just a shoot, you know, a straight back house. I would hope that for their $100 they're getting, I think that in some cases they get something that's worth $100, if not worth a lot more than that. What we hope to do.
Was it mostly the time and inconvenience that concerned you?
The time inconvenience and the $100 fee. It's just the city made it non-conforming. The property owner should not have to pay for getting around the city's applied non-conformance. That's the issue. It just doesn't seem to be fair.
But you don't have to pay unless you add to it, right?
Ma'am?
You don't have to pay unless you add to it. If you leave it the same, if you use the same footprint, then you don't have to get paid $100.
I do want to.
It's complicated.
Yeah, I do want to mention to all of you that something that Pete said, and that is that even with the distance between the two houses in this area, and I know because I've stood and watched one of my houses burn, well, the only one I had, it was made with light wood, and I remember standing there and just watching it go up and burn real fast because that wood burns fast, and it does have the, it could spread very fast, and so nothing we do here tonight will ease that situation because those houses have been there since probably before 1947. They were built in the, if you know what a shotgun house is, they were built in the style of a shotgun house, and so they got a, you know, they were built with that type wood, and some of them are painted, and some of them have vinyl sidings on them, and they're gonna burn if they ever catch on fire. They're gonna go. And that's why he mentioned that even with the distance, the 7.5 feet, some of them still, the house next door still catches fire. So I don't know that we can solve that until maybe they all burn down. But I just know that I guess out of the kindness of your heart, you want to make it easier for the next person, right?
That's exactly right.
And you want to make it not so costly at the expense of $100. Painful with the 2 months. And I don't know that I don't know how we can possibly do that. I don't know how we can do that and be safe. But you had some good ideas. You had an idea for a good ordinance. If they would buy into it, I guess it could work.
You can take the $100 fee off mighty easy. That's what you would say.
What is the $100 fee for? It's paid to the city to go to the BZA? I mean, what is that for?
It basically covers staff time to, and it's an average. Some of them cost a whole lot more than $100 to investigate, to write up the material, and to present it. If you really wanted to look at one way, would be if it's a home ownership.
Yeah.
Maybe you could want to do something about it, but if it's not home ownership, it's a rental house, or they're not living at that house, then that maybe you even want to raise the fee.
But
yeah, I think if they've been there since 1947, they may need some relief if you've changed the laws since 1947. But if I go in there and buy a house and I want to renovate it for resale, I don't think you need to have any mercy on me. I think that you should treat me like you treat everybody else. But if you have a homeowner who has been there since 1947 or 1966 when we changed it, in 1967, that, you know, they, you know, I might be willing to pay it myself for them, but I just don't think we ought to remove that for people who speculate and who buy houses for resale and for rental purposes. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that that owner, as much as for the person who lives there and wants to add a bathroom.
Well,
and it, you know, I just
the $100, and well, maybe I'm looking at you too strongly, and knowing your status, the $100 does not trouble me to the degree if somebody is adding on to their home and they can finance their fourth this. I share Beverly's concern with those who may be struggling. The safety aspect of this gives me some concern in terms of as we look at conforming versus non-conforming. In addition to more than that, it's the time, the 2 months' time. If that is the norm in terms of this taking 2 months to go through this entire process, is that the norm, Roger, in terms of?
I mean, it could certainly be 2 months. Depends on when the application is given to the planning department. It could be as short as 5 weeks.
Okay.
In most cases, though, they know ahead of time when, in other words, they're having a problem with their bathroom or something like this. But those are rare cases.
Okay. You have
okay.
made some good points, created greater awareness of what we're doing here, and
well, we thank you. Appreciate your comments and your interest and your concerns. Yes, sir.
May I speak on this subject?
Certainly.
And while Mr. Reynolds is coming forward, if council approves this ordinance, then you're asking us to go forward and create language to change what our regulations have. If you deny it, which is what the Planning Commission did, then you're saying that we want to keep the regulations the way they currently are.
Thank you. Bill Reynolds, 1035 South Boundary Avenue. I just wanted to speak to the treatment that Mr. Hightower felt he received by the Planning Commission. And Mr. Hightower, I was elected chairman the night that your issue was before us, and I want to apologize if you feel that you did not have a just hearing. The night that we had Mr. Hightower's issue on the work session, it was about 5 minutes until six, and he had not arrived.
Right.
He arrived at about 5 minutes to six or so, and we didn't have time to talk about the issue. And I talked to him between the work session and our formal session, and he indicated that he had been tied up at a county meeting, and that's why he was late. And at that time, we gave him the option of we would leave it on the agenda that night, or we would reschedule next time, and as a courtesy to him, and we mutually agreed we would reschedule it for the next meeting. And I think you left and you were able to then go to the 7 o'clock county meeting. So the fact that we didn't discuss it at that work session wasn't because we didn't have any interest in it. It's just timing. Now, as far as the formal session on the 12th, when we discussed it and voted on it, Mr. Hightower felt like there wasn't much discussion or comment in that work session, nor in the formal session. And I think he likened it to a turtle sort of pulling his head in his shell. And I guess if the Planning Commission was the turtle, I was the head turtle then that night. It wasn't because there wasn't any merit to it. We just felt like there wasn't much to discuss, because one of the things that influenced us to some degree was the fact that several years ago, this council, the BZA had asked us to address the issue of accessory buildings. And the setbacks on them, sheds and garages and things like that, because they were being deluged with requests for exceptions. And we spent a fair amount of time on that, and we came to council and we made a recommendation that we reduce the setback from 10 feet, I think, to either 3 feet or 5 feet. And after great deliberation, the council decided to leave it at 10 feet. So if we're going to leave accessory buildings at 10 feet, we felt that the full residence shouldn't be less than that. And we also felt like the BZA was, the system was working. Now anybody can, I'm sure, that's been through it would say, gee, it's a hardship. I'd rather not have to go through it. But it provides relief. And so I would submit that the BZA system is working. It may be a hardship for a few people, but at least it is a way for us to grant relief where it meets certain criteria. So I just wanted to clarify that point. And again, if an apology is in order, Mr. Hightower, please accept it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, call a question, and I move that we deny this request to amend the zoning ordinance regarding nonconforming setbacks.
Okay, sir. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Well, as I said earlier, the safety aspect is the thing that grabs me the most. And so that's why I'm going to vote in denial of it also. I just don't see that getting any closer, especially when you're dealing with next-door neighbors and that kind of thing.
Mr. Mayor. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to thank Mr. Hightower for bringing this to our attention. I never thought that the $100 or the BZA would be a hardship. Certainly that's not our intention, is to make it hard or difficult on anyone. I also venture, I've tried to sit up here. When I read this, I've tried to be as open as I possibly could from my mind's standpoint. And I understand in one way when you say that you want to add on to a home and there's not a home, the house is not, it's on the adjacent lot, but it doesn't come to the portion that you're wanting to build to. And I think, well, that would be fair. But then by the same token, I look at that and say, well, if we allow that for Willer, then what about the other neighbor if they decide they want to add on 2 years later? I mean, do we allow them to then have a non-conforming setback too? And I think we continue that battle. If the $100 creates a hardship for anyone, I'd like for there to be some relief somehow, some way. I don't know if we could do it legally to where if they could prove to us that it would be a difficult thing for them to come up with. I wouldn't want to deny anyone, and I don't think any of you would, a right to come before the BZA. And if that $100 was going to prevent that, I'd like for us to see somehow, well, let's work around that so that it doesn't prevent this citizen.
What bothers me when I hear this is I wonder what was an addition or modification cost to begin with. It's got to be considerably more than $100.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if we start making that kind of exception, we're off into a very confusing land, I think. I think if the person can afford the modification, they can probably afford the $100.
I agree with you on that, Dick, from the standpoint of someone wanting to add a room on to their house. But I think you, in some situations you get into, you know, someone's really having to add a small bathroom or closet, not necessarily just because they want to or because they can afford to, but you know, it may be because a grandchild now has come to live with them and they need these additions. And I'm not talking about somebody that's doing it for profit. Mm-hmm. I'm with Beverly all the way on that. Yeah, if you're speculating, then I think if anything, you might ought to charge them $200 when they come before. But for someone who's on a limited income and they're having to just pretty much being forced to add on to the house in the best way in which they can, you know, I'm not for creating hardship on those people, and I don't have the answer. I wish I did.
Yeah.
But I do see that part of it.
I mean, I can understand that as well, but I think that we would be legislating for the very rare extreme.
That could very well be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I, from a safety standpoint, I don't want to change these setbacks and cause another house to catch on fire, or possibly someone else to burn up in a house.
Right.
And I do know, and I have seen instances where a house would have vinyl siding on it and the house be a good distance away that caught fire and the vinyl siding melt on the house that was probably 20 feet away from it.
Safety is the paramount issue in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
I do want to also thank Mr. Hightower for coming forward and to let the record show that he has done what he has needed to do by going before the board, and he's paid his $100, and he's waited his 2 months, and he's satisfied with that, and I think he's looking out for those people who may not be able to maneuver the system like he's been able to do, or maybe even have the time to do that. And I do want to add that that I grew up in a house similar to this, and as my mother had children, my father himself added on to the house. And you have a lot of people who can do that nowadays, minimally following the city codes and everything, just do what they need to do. So it's not a matter of how much money that they have that they can afford the $100. I just think that if they've lived there all their lives and if this is a hardship to them, if the $100 is a hardship to them, that as a caring city, we ought to look at that. And I think it might be five people, it might be two. But I think if it's any that's lived there and want to do this, and it might be none, that we should at least consider that the $100 not stop them from doing what they need to do. But I really don't think that we should even consider this for anybody who's buying a house just to rent, to fix up to rent. I mean, that's not my concern at all.
Mr. Mayor, I call for a question,
okay.
but just asking for the records to reflect that if there's a hardship that can be proven, that we consider that fee.
Well, now, you want to put that in your motion?
That's Dick's motion.
Dick, is that okay?
Who's going to consider it?
You want
staff to take a look at that?
Let's let staff look at it.
Why not separate the issue?
Yeah, just separate.
If you would like, I've already written it down that we could develop a policy. You know, we have a policy on what we call fun funds,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
kids that can't afford recreation, mm-hmm. we go ahead and pay the fees mm-hmm. for them. There's probably not very many that cannot afford the BZA fee, but there are a number of elderly and that cannot afford to do a number of these things, And it really, like you said, Ms. Clyburn, there's probably only less than a handful of folks every year that this would ever have to apply to. But we could easily come up with, just like we do with the funds that we have, and come up with a policy that says for anybody that meets a certain income limit and is a homeowner and needs to go ahead and go before BZA, that we could go ahead and waive that fee. And it'd be something very simple to do, and we're not talking about that much money.
Okay, very, very good. We have a motion and a second for denial. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you, Councilman, for being with us. Item 4 is a first reading of an ordinance to amend the terms of the loan to LED of Aiken Corporation. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the terms of loan to LED of Aiken Incorporated. Most all of you know that Aiken Corporation formed a subsidiary called LED. LED is a for-profit arm of Aiken Corporation, and through that, they were able to build the left half, the Washington Center for the Performing Arts. That portion is rented right now on a monthly basis. We gave them an interim loan early on to go ahead and get started with this. And in 2002, a decision was made by council on what was the best way for them to go ahead and to get a permit loan. Should they go to a bank, or should the city of Aiken consider lending the money? Because, and again, I hate to use the terminology of a win-win situation, there was a debt to be paid by the playhouse who was renting the other side, and that debt was several hundreds of thousands of dollars. So an arrangement was made that the amount of money that we would gain through investment at the state level, which at that point in time was a pittance, we were getting like 2.5% interest rate at the state level, that money would come back to city from the loan, and that the difference between, I believe at that time was 4.5%, and let's say 2.5% or 2% of that money then would go to help pay off the loan that the playhouse had. So every month, about $10,000 of what they were paying us went to pay off the playhouse, because they were paying at 4.5%, we were getting 2.5%, and this arrangement worked very well, and about a year ago, the total loan was paid off with the playhouse. They came to us about a year ago and asked that the loan at that time was down to about from $3.5 million, it had been reduced to about $2.8 million. Again, they could have gone out for private financing, but they request the city, could they reconsider to continue lending the money? As all of you are aware, we have no general fund debt. We have a bonding capacity of well over $8 million that we can go out and borrow against without having to get a referendum or anything before the voters. What we have been able to do for the last number of years is we've been borrowing money internally. We've been borrowing money from ourselves. We have reserve funds, so instead of us going out to a bank or somewhere else, we borrow money from ourselves, and then we pay ourselves back based on the prevailing rate of what we are getting at the state level. So again, in this particular case, they came to us. We did have enough in reserves to go ahead and continue this loan agreement. Council decided at that time to allow them to continue borrowing the money from the city of Aiken at a fixed rate of interest, again, varying based on what we were going ahead and collecting. They are now before us. As you probably are all aware, there was a tax reassessment done this past year. Very interestingly, when we had the building built in 2002, cost approximately $3.5 million to build it. The tax assessors charged and put on the rolls $1.7 million for the building. We tried to convince them that it really did cost more money to build the building, but this is, again, this was a common procedure that the county used in evaluating the tax assessment, so it was assessed at a much lower value than actually what it cost to build it. well, reassessments went up on everything but homes. All businesses, they went up extremely high, and Jane or Don could probably attest to that, commercial buildings, for-profit buildings went up in that rate. They are now asking that we would reconsider the loan agreement we have, and instead of paying us $25,000 a month, which is what we approved, the council approved a year ago, to reduce that to $20,000 a month so that they would have a little bit more income coming in to help pay for the taxes and the insurance increases that they are now receiving. And because they had not really thought forward into what the reassessment was going to be, they're asking that we would forgive the month of March as far as the principal. Now, the interest would still, they'd pay us, but the principal, they would not, if you approved this, they would not be paying. So there's two things that they're asking for tonight. One, that the principal interest be reduced from $25,000 to $20,000, and that for the month of March, their next payment, that they would be paying interest only. So for your consideration tonight, this is an ordinance to amend the terms of our loan agreement to LED of Aiken Corporation for the Washington Center. And if you approve this tonight, then we'd have a second reading and public hearing at the next meeting, and then we would make the adjustment during the months of March and that point thereafter.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You say the building is, excuse me, sir.
No, go ahead.
The building is now assessed at 1.7.
No, that's what it was assessed in 2002. I'm not too sure what the reassessment
amount is.
What is it
now? When will we be sure?
The annual city and county taxes are about
$25,000. The reassessment went into effect last year. In other words, when everybody got their tax bill, went up the reassessed amount.
But they should have gotten one too.
And so the tax bill that you would have received November and December from the county and the city would be for the reassessed amount.
And you got that?
Yep.
And how much is it? Actually, not approximately.
Take your time.
Hop along.
I didn't know I worked you out that hard.
Wade Brody, 422 York Street, and I'm chairman of the Aiken Corporation. The assessment really doesn't have a great effect on our cash flow. What is affecting our cash flow is federal income taxes. The actual taxes are part of the lease payment agreement, so they're paid by the renter. When we first started this process, the city loaning this much wanted the loan to be repaid as fast as possible, and from a good management standpoint, the members of the Aiken Corporation wanted the same thing. So initially, for the first 5 years, we paid 100% of the lease payment to reduce the debt. The reason we were able to do that was our CPA had recommended that we take escalated depreciation on the building 7 years rather than 25 or whatever you could do. So that allowed us to escape income taxes for 6 years. We're into the 6 year now. And our income taxes now go be federal and state $60,000 a year. So what we're asking you to do is to reduce the agreed amount, as Roger mentioned, from $25,000 a month to $20,000 a month. This gives us an additional $5,000 a month plus $2,000 a month, which we got out of the last agreement, times 12 months would give you $84,000 in increased cash flow, out of which we'd be able to pay the taxes, and should take care of, you know, we don't know what the federal government's going to do with taxes, but should take care of any tax increases. If at the end of the year we had some excess build up in this cash flow, it'd be our intent to apply it back to the principal of the loan, because we want to pay the loan off as fast as we can. That debt, which was originally, I think, about $3.5 million, is down to about $2.4 million now. So
all of this cash will be in a discrete account. It's part of the building business, if you will. It's not spending money for other issues.
No.
Wait, are you looking at this $60,000 per year income tax as about the same every year? Is it going to increase, or you don't?
It's going up. You know, from last year, it's going up because the depreciation is changing. It's getting less and less and less.
Right.
On the other hand, we don't know what the federal government's going to do with tax rates for corporations or for us as individuals. But we feel that while we're asking, will certainly give us enough leeway to take care of the tax situation, the cash flow situation for several years at least. And if we got any excess, it'll go back to retire the debt with the city.
Mm-hmm. So if everything works out the way we all hope it does, then going from 25,000 to the 20,000 ought to be sufficient in the future. I mean, once you get to that level.
Right.
Of 20,000 per month.
Yeah. And we in a, you know, it's not favorable to the city standpoint, but it is to us as a borrower. We in a favorable interest rate situation now. I see rates declining over the next couple of years. We've already seen at least a 1.5% drop, and we probably go get another 0.5% or maybe another 1%, I think, in the next 6 months because of economic conditions, and that affects the rate that the city earns on that account, your investment pool, which affects what the city charges us. So it's declining presently.
Just for city council's purposes, the interest rate that we earned last month was 4.36%. They do owe $2.468 million. And I apologize, when I had heard it was the taxes, I assumed it was real estate taxes, not federal and state taxes. But as of the end of January, it's $2.468 million. It did start off 3.5%, and the interest rate that we're earning is 4.36% currently.
One other comment is that the agreement requires that we pay the city, in addition to the average on the state investment pool, an additional 1%. So I think we're getting a good deal because we're able to borrow at a lesser rate than we could from a bank. And, of course, the city's getting a good deal because we're paying you 1% more than you can get on your state investment pool.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of comments. Obviously, as a newcomer, you folks have a lot more corporate knowledge about this issue than I am, and I'm somewhat critical of the package that we have before us because it doesn't really give me a lot of information. I've written all kinds of notes on this issue. Is this added money not able to be passed on to the tenant?
No, we have an agreed lease payment with the tenant for 5 years.
For 5 years at a fixed price, never to change?
Right.
Wow.
We think it's a pretty good rate.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
for 5 years from now, or for 5 years from
it's,
today?
It started, now we're talking about 4 years because we renegotiated the lease a year ago. It was a 10-year lease. With the option of looking at the end of 5 years, adjusting the rate. And we did that by going to the banks and getting the best rate possible. And that's what our lease payment is based on. And it's very favorable to the Aiken Corporation.
So there's no way of increasing the rent. It's just flat.
Okay. No.
Would you expect there would be any... I'm asking you to predict the future, I guess, and I don't mean to be put you that much on a bind, but are we likely to have another? This is the third request for change of the terms, as I understand it, since we started in 2000.
Well, this would be the second.
We started in 2000. We went to 2002. We did something, and we did something in October of 2006.
We had a construction loan in 2000.
and then that construction loan turned to a permanent loan in 2002. And that stayed the same until we made this adjustment with the renewal of the lease. There was some changes made at that time. And so everything stayed the same from 2002 to 2006, the end of 2006. Some changes were made. Now we're asking for some. They're asking for some more changes.
Yeah. And the interest rate on the loan is 4.36%.
Plus 1%. And that varies from month to month, depending on what our rate is. So in other words, if next month our state pool goes down to 4.2%, then it's 4.2% plus 1%.
But I do think this is a good deal for the city and for the Aiken Corporation, as it
said. While you're here, though, I mean, just as a layman, I'm confused somewhat by the Aiken Corporation. Then that has branches that are. I mean, I've been familiar with different organizations under the umbrella of the Aiken Corporations being tax exempt. Okay, right. So you have branches that are tax exempt and branches that are not tax exempt.
Well, we don't have branches. We have subcommittees
or whatever. I don't know what to call it.
Like the railroad depot and the cultural center, and they operate as a committee of the Aiken Corporation using our 501c3 status. When we first set this corporation up and looked at getting into building ownership, our CPA and attorneys advised that we set up a separate corporation as a profit-making corporation, and advised us if we didn't, we might have some long-term tax liability with the federal government, because, you know, we're using this lease money to actually make a profit on for the corporation, whether most of the Aiken Corporation's operations are non-profit making.
Right. So therefore, that's what you were saying when you were saying that the extra money, that would be in the profit-making division,
right,
whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And that would all be in one account then,
yes,
essentially.
It's in a separate corporation.
I didn't understand that. I did not understand there were separate corporations within the Aiken Corporation.
I didn't understand this for a long time, but let me say, the Aiken Corporation charter, as I recall, says if the Aiken Corporation were ever dissolved, all of the assets of the corporation would revert to the city. Is that part of our
agreement with the city?
If that were to happen and you owned still this office building, would that also revert? Would that be part of the property that would revert to the city?
Could be.
Well, no, that's tough. Yes or no?
I don't know that I can give you a legal opinion on that.
Gary?
I'm not the lawyer for the Aiken Corporation, but I believe LED of Aiken, Inc. is an asset owned by the Aiken Corporation.
Okay, right.
And so it would be an
under
asset.
That proof. Okay.
Yes.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah. I think it.
So the income that you generate then is used to pay off the loan?
Right, and that lease is the only income-producing entity that we have, that lease payment.
Okay. I don't mean to give you a hard time, Mr. Brody. It's just that there's a lot that I need to know about the Aiken Corporation, and I would like to have. I read this, and as it is, I've already made about five or six corrections that, thanks to the deliberations that have been made tonight. So thank you. It sounds like it's a good deal for the city.
Mr. Mayor, you may want to share where we were just briefly when that building was built, where the downtown area was in terms of wanting development to come downtown and the old Aiken Playhouse and how that joint relationship.
You're doing a super job. Go ahead.
Thank you. Are you already aware of that, Dick?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay.
I just was interested primarily in the number.
Okay.
The numbers part of this. You know, I just wanted to make sure it was in our best interest.
Have you seen a picture, Dick, of what was there before?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure you have. Okay, we need a motion and a second.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the reading of this ordinance upon first reading.
Second.
Okay. Second. Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, in favor, all in favor. Beverly, I'm sorry, did you?
I did.
Can't catch all
I was this. Asking Gary, can I legally vote since I think so.
Oh, you're not going to put any money in your pocket?
No.
Oh, okay. It passes unanimously then. Very good discussion. Item 5, a resolution accepting the deeds of dedication for utilities and roadways in Fox Haven subdivision, in the roadways and utilities in Deodora Plantation, except for water lines. Mr. Duke, please.
Yes, Kroll and Company has built these two different developments, and that's why they're tied together. Deodora Plantation, there's many sections of it that are around 5 years old, and some sections within there that are just turned a year old. They would like to have the utilities and the streets deeded to the city. Now, those water lines in Deodora Plantation are under the control of the Mount Morenci-Couchton Utility District. So we'd be accepting everything out there but the water lines. Fox Haven, which is right off of Banks Mill Road, is a little lesser of a community, and again, they're asking for the roads, the water, the sewer, the storm drainage, everything in there be deeded to the city. Again, most of those roads out there are more than a year old, but there are some that just turned a year. Mr. Morris and the City Engineering Department have reviewed these, and in their memorandum feels that everything is meeting our requirements and has no problems with it, and is recommending that we accept these so that we could serve the citizens that are residents of the City of Aiken in those two areas. So for your consideration tonight, this acceptance of a deed of dedication for Deodora Plantation and Fox Haven Subdivision is described in attached resolution and deeds.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Oh. So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'll second it. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I see Larry is back there. I wonder if you could come up and address the question of the certification of these roads and the acceptance of them. Larry, as you know, we passed the ordinance, and new roads would come under the engineer of record as of the 1st of January. But my question is simply, do these roads meet the city specifications? The ones we are accepting, are they built according to city specifications?
They're built according to the specs as far as whatever we have provided for inspection for all of our streets and our utilities, you know, throughout the years that we've been doing this. These roads, several of them are several years old. We have not seen failures. We've not seen potholes. We haven't seen sewer problems or anything like that with them. So we're fairly comfortable with those. The one thing that, of course, we cannot address is the water system. That being couched in Montmorency, we have no real control over that. If they do have a leak or something, then when they repair it, they will have to repair it according to our road spec, the same way we have to repair a state street whenever we have a problem with it.
So if the pipeline fails underneath based on low compaction or whatever, then
they have to come back and work that.
They have to come back. We're not responsible for that.
That is correct.
And when Larry says that, just to make sure we all understand, up until what you did in late November, the City of Aiken, their inspection process involved just an observation of what was going out there. There was no compaction testing that was done, and which is now going to be a requirement of all certifications. They actually have to go out there with density meters and make sure that any fill material that's brought in above sewer lines, water lines, et cetera, meet those specifications.
All right. We did do the rolling compaction test with loaded vehicles to make sure that our subbase and our base was correct. And as I say, we have not seen road failures or other problems like that using that procedure.
I have a question about this, the detention pond. And I'm thinking in particular of Fox Haven, and I may be incorrect. This is, Fox Haven is off of Banks Mill Road. Am I not correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's part of the Queen Harvey property.
I haven't been out there in the last month, but prior to that, that wooden fence that's around that pond was looking pretty weak in places. Are we responsible for that? Who's responsible for the safety of that?
I'd have to go back and look at the fence. That was put in originally by Queen Harvey when she developed that subdivision. We did not accept it. We asked for repairs to be made to it. She has been out of the picture. She sold the subdivision, I believe, to Home Sites, Inc., and then there was a subsequent change of ownership to Crawling Company, which they're operating now under DDR. So I really can't answer your question totally on that. I know we have been maintaining the pump station for the sanitary and for the stormwater there. The other detention pond, I'm trying to think, was a portion of a detention pond put in by the SCDOT. And then when Kroll and Company started developing that, they incorporated that pond into theirs. So we've held up accepting those until everything could be properly constructed over there. So I'm sorry, I don't have a good answer to your question on that on the fence. We had asked for some repairs, and according to our technician, the repairs we had asked for were completed. Whether or not that's the whole fence now, I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
When we accept a detention pond just in general, then, the fencing becomes our responsibility as well.
Fencing, pumps, anything like that.
Well, then I would really like for us to look at that wooden fence and maybe...
This is in Fox Haven, the original section of Fox Haven.
Right. Then that
was probably about 5 years old now.
About 5 years old, and again, that was developed originally by Queen Harvey.
Right, but had we accepted that detention pond earlier?
No, sir, we had not.
This is part of it.
When it was brought into the city, when it was annexed, normally when we annex something, all of the utilities become ours automatically as part of the annexation. So we have been maintaining the system out there. What we found was that there was no deed registered, so the actual pond area, the roadways and everything were not a portion of the city. So we asked that Kroll and Company prepare new deeds showing that those would be turned over to the city. So that's kind of where we are tonight.
We'll check that, because I know that when I was out there, and it was even longer before you were out there, that part of the fence was leaning.
Yeah. And again, we had asked for some repairs. Whether or not that was a whole fence, I don't think so.
Well, it was a whole thing. But this is that area where the detention pond's right in the middle.
Right.
And then
in the
houses
right in the middle
all
housing.
Back up
yes.
to it. Right.
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is that the reason it's a wooden fence rather than a wire fence?
That was requested by originally Queen Harvey as a decorative type thing. Again, that's about 5 years ago. It was in the county at that point in time.
Right.
So the county approved that. And then, of course, when we annexed in the property, then essentially we became the proud owners of that pond.
I'm talking about the fence around the pond.
That's correct.
I'm concerned about the wooden fence around the pond.
Yeah.
How many years do we expect that to be good once it's fixed and last? Without going back and checking it every...
We have the same problem over at Gatewood, where we have a wooden fence.
Yeah.
We look at it about every year, and we just kind of do minor repairs to it each year on any time we have a wooden fence like that.
They normally last about 15 years, and we have to replace it.
But we repair boards, we may have to put posts in, things like this.
We have a wooden fence at home, and I know it. Ours doesn't last 15 years.
And one of the problems is, the people want the wooden fence because they don't want to see the detention pond.
I know. No, I appreciated that.
Well,
but I'm
thinking about a safety standpoint here, and that's what you were thinking about, Jane,
uh-huh.
too, I think. Is a wooden fence normally safer than a wire fence?
No, it is not. We have had to go back at the Gatewood pond, and even though we've maintained the wooden, over the years we have replaced sections of it inside the wooden fence with chain link.
Right.
So that we essentially have the wooden fence for decorative, then inside it we have chain link.
Should we consider that in this particular case?
That very well would make it a safer situation, I would think. And that would be something we could ask
One of the problems we have here is when it was first built, and again, we could ask for what we want to, but when it was first built, the requirements, it's kind of like the grandfathering that we talked about earlier. This is what was required by the county and, and by us originally. But again, our standards, if we want something more, we could certainly ask for it.
Well, I'm just, again, I'm...
I think the consensus is that we need another fence, so we'll...
If we could put a wire fence in the, behind the wooden fence...
I have no problem at all asking the developer to do that.
Do you think that's the smartest thing to do?
I think it's safer.
Safer, than a wooden fence, I do
certainly.
Too. Okay. Okay, good, good. Okay, we've... Thank you, sir. We've got a motion and second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, just so we're clear, are you making that a condition of council accepting this deed of dedication?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's, yes. Is that acceptable to who?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's try it again. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
This deed will not be signed until that fence is put in there.
Okay, great. Now, Council Willing, we need to go into executive session to discuss a personal matter and also a contractual issue.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, could I just ask a question?
Sure.
Historically, and again, one of these new guy questions, have we ever had an open comment item on our agenda where citizens can just come to the council and, as I notice, we don't have that.
I don't think we've ever had it written down in 22 years that I've acknowledged, but we've never turned anybody down at one speak.
There's a section here called petitions and requests.
Yeah.
And so that's the time for the citizen, if they have any requests, to come before City Council and make their request.
Okay.
And I guess going forward, Dick, I need to mention that.
And what we do is, if somebody calls me ahead of time, we certainly will allow them to, we ask for something and then we'll put it on the agenda, but if no one comes, then we don't know that.
Okay, thank you.
Here we have a citizen now that wants to talk.
And you want to say Mayor Kavanaugh, members of the City Council, and other city officials, just wanted some clarification. I was did not have a copy at the last meeting of the Council's 2008-2009 goals.
Yes, ma'am.
And I guess the question I'd like to ask on that, are these listed in order of priority? Are
No.
Okay. That was what I wanted to
About half of my repeats from year to year to year to year. Okay. So those tend to kind of get moved up towards the,
to the top.
And then we add 5, 6, 7, 8 new ones every year.
Okay.
But we do.
Just for my own information, would it be possible if you could reassess these of those that were considered to be short term and those would be that considered to be long term? Because I see some items on here that, you know, that I think could be handled very quickly. One of the, which is the Crosland Park and the youth kind of things. And, you know, I'd just like to see, you know, some order in how you.
Yeah, we may be working on some of those already.
Actively right now.
They've been on the list for a while.
Okay.
We probably had 5 meetings in the last 6 weeks.
Okay. Crosland Park, when we're working on. Okay.
Is that your main concern?
Okay.
That's our main concern, too.
Yes.
Any other ones that you think really need to.
For the Planning Commission.
I mean, I think that's a great. That's nice of you to come and let us. I mean, I'm interested in what you think is the most important.
Well, yeah.
And they are, and we all are.
Yeah, that one, the reestablishment of the youth council, consider development of youth protection, I guess those that are directed toward our youth and toward the safety of our communities.
Yeah, the youth protection ordinance will probably be before council late March, early April.
Okay. Those are sort of related, aren't they?
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, thank you, Ann.
And thanks for coming, too.
Okay. Yeah, we did.
We did take action. I mean, we're
gathering more information.
Okay, all right.
That's what I was
gathering more information.
That's right. You took no official action.
We didn't make any votes yet.
Okay, we're back in session from our executive session. Just want to report that we took no official action. We're gathering information on both of these items that we went into executive session on, a contractual matter, also a personnel matter. So we had good discussions, but we're still gathering information on both of them. So that's that closes those issues out. And
move to adjourn?
Adjourn.
Okay.
I thought it was going to get home. You got an email in there.